Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about emergency plans, which we all know from recent events that sometimes our families need these. So today, I'm going to welcome on impactful guest, Brecky Wagner, and she is the founder of Sustainable Prepping. It's a business dedicated to educating and empowering women to have an emergency plan so that they can have calm and confidence in any crisis. Thank you for being on today, Brecky.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started right away with, why would I need an emergency plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think now that we are in the post-2020 world, it's a little bit easier to imagine why we might want an emergency plan. Having lived through everything with the pandemic and the related shortages around groceries and stores having limited hours or even being closed, having an emergency plan means that we'll be prepared for that. Even if we don't imagine that it's coming, a plan will help us thrive even when the world seems a little unstable. So a lot of folks think about emergency plans if you live in an area where there are hurricanes or tornadoes, but really anyone can benefit from having a holistic emergency plan for the things that you can expect, like winter weather or other seasonal weather conditions, but also for all the things that you can expect, right? So the pandemic, for example, but it can also be for things like job loss, or a prolonged illness, or if you have to become a caregiver and suddenly your expenses go up and you kind of need a little extra support, an emergency plan can really help you in any of those areas.
Well, let's get started. Can you please tell us, how do we start this process? What are some of our first steps to get prepared?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have this whole fundamentals concept, and I'm going to give you guys a freebie. So if you don't take notes, if you're driving, don't worry. I will give you a cheat sheet. But really, I break it down into five major areas. And the five major areas cover all the basics, right? If you get worried about the zombie apocalypse, you'll need to add. But if you're worried about regular everyday emergencies, this is going to cover all of your bases and really help you have a secure plan. They all start with the letter F. So there's the five fundamentals, all with the letter F. And the first one is food and water storage. And the idea is that you determine what your family needs in food and water in case something happens to the water supply, whether your pipes burst because it's winter, you know, poor Texas, right? Who knew there'd be an ice storm in Texas and people didn't have water? So water is really important. And I recommend that everyone aim for 1 to 2 weeks of water, which is 1 gallon per person per day in your family. So for a family of four, they'd need 28 gallons. And I recommend an extra 1 to 2 gallons added on to that week for sanitation, or if you want to, you know, have a little extra for cooking or whatever. But I have it all in the cheat sheet, so you don't have to memorize it. And then I recommend that the goal for all families that have the means, of the financial means, is to get to 1 month of shelf-stable food. Right? 1 month of shelf-stable food. That seems like a lot, but it's a lot easier than you think. And I teach about all that and have free videos on YouTube and stuff like that. But 2 weeks of water and 1 month of food is sort of the first goal, is your first big benchmark. And that's the first F, is food and water. The second F is first aid and medications. And most families have a little first aid kit, right? We all have some peroxide and Band-Aids. Anybody's got kids that run and play outside, you know, you got to have a little Neosporin for the scrapes and bruises of life. But I really recommend that folks make sure everything they have is up to date. They go through and annually look at all their cold and flu medication. If you don't keep, you know, extra cold and flu medication, maybe start having a little bit on hand. And then always have a little extra of your things like fever reducers. So acetaminophen, which is Tylenol, things like Advil, ibuprofen, stuff like that. And always have some in liquid, even if your kids don't need the liquid, so that if you always have something accessible. And then to look at your medications. One of the things that happened during the pandemic is people couldn't get to the pharmacy, right? And if you need a medication, that becomes a big deal. But we don't think about it, right? Because most of us have pharmacies that work just fine. And so talking with your healthcare provider about if you have medications, can you get an extra 1 month? Can you be 1 month ahead always so that you have that extra little bit, really can give you some peace of mind. So that's the second F. The third F is fuel and illumination. This is how you're going to cook the food that you've stored, right? So camp stove, grills, whatever works for your family. And then illumination is how you're going to light your house. You know, if the power is out for a few days or a week, right? I live in rural West Virginia, so we've had power outages go 10 days, which is not the most fun. Yeah, not the most fun. But if you have 3 or 4 days of power outage or intermittent power, again, we look at Texas and we know that this is a really relevant thing for folks. How are you going to light it? Do you have the batteries for that flashlight? You know, maybe not candles if you have little kids. So thinking about all of those pieces. The fourth F is finances. It's really important that we think of our finances as an emergency, you know, preparedness tool, as something that's an empowerment piece. I think having cash on hand, most of us don't, who carries cash anymore, you know, but having cash on hand is important. And I recommend that families have $100 for every member of their family as a little set aside bit of cash. And that is because if the power is out, but you can still get to a store, you can't use your credit card if there's no electricity, but you could use cash. So it gives you just a little bit more flexibility. And then just try to work on your savings, right? That's sort of common advice. And I recommend folks aim for 3 months of your most basic living expenses. And you're not going to do this overnight, right? We recognize that these are steps. The fifth and final area is feces or sanitation. I needed an F word. So, but this is really looking at what happens if your plumbing doesn't work. Again, I'm going to point to Texas because it's so recent, but if your pipes burst, your toilet might not work either. So putting together an emergency potty or a camp potty, if you've got little kids, man, you got to have a plan, you know, when the call happens, you know, when they got to go, right? So having a backup potty, having the right disinfectants to make sure if there is a mess, you can really clean it up. If someone is sick, you can really clean it up. Things like having extra gloves and trash bags that are stowed away for the emergency and don't accidentally get used up. And then things like having extra masks, even as we move out of the pandemic, these could be helpful if someone in your home has something that you don't want to catch, but they're at home with you. Now this is basic, right? And that's sort of a nice foundation that's going to hold you through like 90% of the emergencies that you might face.
I can't tell you how informative that last few minutes was. I'm sitting there nodding my head as you're speaking, going, yep, that's really important. And so many things that I don't think most people think about. It's just not typical. And I know it's a lot of work, parents, to prepare for all of this, but I'm going to say, get your kids involved, have them be a part of the plan, teach them how to also prepare. It could be a family activity this summer. And in the end, if you need this, you're going to be so grateful that you are here listening to this right now, consuming this content and learning from Brekkie, because this is amazing. The one thing that was going through my mind, though, as you're mentioning all this list of stuff to get prepared, was this can get expensive. This is going to be pricey. Yeah. So how can I do this on a budget?
The first thing is to prioritize, right? What is the biggest priority for you? And that's going to depend family to family, right? You know, if you live in an area that's drought prone, water storage might be your number one priority. You know, if you are someone with a bunch of little kids, you might be really focusing on first aid and food storage. If you're someone who has a lot of land where you can build a little latrine, you might not worry about the sanitation piece. You might not, you know, that might not be your top priority. Really, you start with prioritizing in this plan what is most important to your family. So first, you make a priority. The second thing is, a lot of these things you can find good deals on if you're willing to slowly create your foundation.
That's what I was
thinking. So the Dollar Tree in my town has tons of stuff. Yeah, it's a slow build. You're not, you know, it's important to recognize you're not going to have this overnight. But if you pick one and say, okay, one thing a month, I'm going to work on one thing a month, mm-hmm. and you slowly just chip away. Again, you use your priorities. You slowly chip away. I have a whole video series on concentric circles so that you build your most important and then the next thing and then the next thing. And that's how you can get some things. Okay, I'm going to go buy a flashlight. I'm going to go, you know, buy some extra pasta. I'm going to add, you know, 3 days worth of water, and they're just slowly building until they have that nice foundation. And, you know, God willing, we won't have anything big happening between now and when you complete your plan. But here's the other thing. Even if an emergency happens in between you starting and finishing your plan, you're ahead. You're already ahead. You know, all those little pieces, even if they aren't perfect, are already serving you. They serve you the moment that you start. So yeah, you do, when you do it on a budget, you just do it a little bit more slowly.
I am loving this. I think it's fantastic because, you know, the more that you're prepared, the less stress that you're going to have. You also emulate that stress and worry down to your children. So if you're in any kind of situation where you need to be prepared for it, whether, like you said, it's a job that got laid off or a family member that got sick or another pandemic, or, you know, you live in a floodplain, whatever that situation might be, how you react is really going to affect how your children feel about the situation. And the more we can prepare ourselves as parents or even as just adults, even if we're not parents quite yet, yes, or whoever's listening to this, but the more prepared we feel, the calmer we are, the more ready we are. And that just trickles to everyone around us.
So you were saying how you react affects your kids. You know, you as the parent, you lead your home. You lead your home. And if more parents, you know, I joke with my husband that I want to reach 1 million moms. That was sort of my dream for the business, is to reach 1 million moms. Because if we have 1 million moms that are calm when the next pandemic hits or a major tornado hits or the next Hurricane Katrina hits or whatever will happen, right? Because that's just how life is. Imagine how different those scenarios will be, you know, how much better off not just those families will be, but their whole communities, because they'll have those calm leaders. They'll have those voices that aren't panicked, that aren't worried, that aren't coming from a place of insecurity. They're calm, they're confident, they're leading, they're helping their neighbor. I'm Christian, so that's really important to me. You know, you're serving your neighbor, you're helping your neighbor. And you can do that from a place really of power and of security. And so I just really, I've got goosebumps. I'm just so excited about teaching others and empowering others and doing it from a place of hopefulness, of real hopefulness.
Now, I know you talk a lot about this sustainable prepping. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and why is that approach different?
If you were to go and Google right now, emergency preparedness or prepping, as the some people call it, it's a very doom and gloom oriented space. It's very macho. It's very masculine. It's very us versus them. It's not optimistic at all. It's actually a very pessimistic, conspiracy theory laden community. And that's a turnoff. And so I knew friends who were like, I don't want to be a part of that. And they didn't do a plan. And then they were stuck with the pandemic and going, I don't have anything to eat but ketchup and macaroni and cheese. And I don't want anyone to be in that position. So I decided I could be there. I could be the person to educate. And so sustainable prepping's whole viewpoint is a fear-free approach, or as low fear as possible, to look at an emergency plan as an empowerment tool, not as something reactive, but actually proactive. So once you have your emergency plan, man, that's going to make you feel more confident, more secure, right? Who cares? I mean, we would all care if it was another pandemic, of course, but it wouldn't affect you the same way, because you know, if you have to be home, you wouldn't be as stressed. You know, you wouldn't have that anxiety. That is something you can do now. And then you're setting yourself up to not be afraid in the future. And so I just really am excited and passionate about helping more families have that and do it in a way that isn't based in fear. And since so many people use fear, I just think that that's not the way to approach it. I don't think that's right. So that's how I'm a little bit different in that emergency preparedness space.
I'm thinking people are going to want to reach out to you. Tell us, how can they get a hold of you to learn more, watch your YouTube channel, whatever it is, so we can get some more information on how to get prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope everyone can come and find me. I am on YouTube, Sustainable Prepping at YouTube. I'm also on Instagram at Sustainable_Prepping. You can find me there. And we also have a Facebook group. So the Sustainable Prepping Insiders, you guys can find us there. It is a group of women who are kind of encouraging each other as they build their own plans. So they're not doing it by themselves. So it's great. I'm excited. And of course the website, you know, sustainableprepping.com. And you can find all kinds of resources, and the videos go through how to build your plan, lots of ideas. I have a video series on, you know, $5 a week ideas if you can only prep on $5 a week. So it's just really resources for every stage of your emergency preparedness plan development.
Thank you so much for being on today, Ricky. I appreciate all this information that you have. So timely in getting you on the show, because we all need this. So thank you so much. And until next time, parents, you got this. I'm just here to help.
Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.